Okay, let's begin our discussion of Shabbos Daf Chaf Aleph. Again, I apologize, my throat's a little weak, but the daf must go on. So we have Chaf Amud Beis, we're on Masecha Shabbos, we're up to Tani. So we just had the Mishnah that spoke about different materials for that one could use for wicks. So we said anything that comes out of a tree, anything that goes on a tree is one is not allowed to use except for pishtun, because that's the only thing that the wick grows, lights well, and anything also, yotzim and aetz, any tree growth is only the only thing that's mitame, tumas ohalim, that also becomes tame, besides creating the tumas ohel under it, the only thing that becomes tame is going to be pishtun as well. And then we have the third part of the Mishnah, which we're going to get to, Hashem and the Gemara today, and that is if I take a beged and I roll it up and I want to use it into a wick, but I don't singe it, there is a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva about whether it still has the status of the beged, whether it's still tmeya, makabal tuma or not, and as an outgrowth of that, as we'll see, whether you can light with it. Good. So we spoke about the limud from the pishtun is lahalos near tamid, because it goes straight up. On the Mishnah earlier, I mentioned it outside yesterday, that itron, right? The Mishnah said on yesterday's daf that Rabbi Shmuel says you cannot use itron because of Kavod Shabbos. There is a shaklavatari in the Bavli that I don't think it appears right here. Maybe later, but it does not appear right here. And that is Abaya and Rava. If you look in the Bavli on Chafema Beis, the Gemara says, my time up. Well, why does Rabbi Shmuel say you can't use itron? Amar Rava, b'deisha recho ra, gzeira shamiyani chanav yetzai. You might leave. Right? You might leave. It smells bad. So you're going to leave the room. Amalaya baya, v'yetze, so what? So leave. Right, v'yetze Rashi, my ichbatlan, what do we care? You'll lit Shabbos candles, and it smells bad, so you'll leave. What's the difference? You did the mitzvah. Amalay, so Rava answers, shiny omer, halakas ner b'Shabbos chova. No. Halakas ner Shabbos is a chova. And therefore, baya would say it's not a chova. Right, so it seems the Beis HaLevi in the Tshuva says that maybe this machlokas between Abaya and Rava is about what the nature of the mitzvah of Halakas Ner Shabbos is, to use our Lashonos, covet or oneg. Is it about just lighting and it looks like, even if I can't smell it, it looks like I'm giving honor to Shabbos by lighting candles there, or I have to enjoy it. So if you have to enjoy it, so then, you know, if you leave, then you're losing the whole purpose of it. The Sfir Le'Labaya, this is in the Chuvis, Simen Yud Aleph. Sfir Le'Labaya, Te'ikra Mitzvah Al Laka, whom we should covet Shabbos. Da'ad Laka Gufa, Havi Kavet L'Shabbos. Afa Gav Dehu Eino Sham. For Rabba Hosef Lo, De Milvad Chiyav Ad Laka, we should covet Shabbos. Besides the act of lighting, Mechuyev Sheyiyah Lo Ner Daluk, B'makam Se'uda. It's kind of result. You need the nair lit where you eat. And that's why he says, you know, if you leave, then you're going to ruin the whole mitzvah. Again, there's a lot more there, but that's the base Alevi suggests that's the machlokas between Abaya and Rava. And again, other nafkaminas, Tosf is there on Daf Chafeim Abayz, discusses, what happens if you have it lit from beforehand, do you have to relight it? That would flip the other way. Abaya would say, yeah, because you have to be l'shem kavod Shabbos. And Rava would say, no, if it's just, you're right, but if it's there, you might have the oneg even without relighting it. There is even a day, a Tosfos quotes there, that you don't make a bracha on Halakas Ner Shabbos. You don't make a bracha. V'yesh rotzim lomar, de'ein levarech ahadlakas ner. Midikare lechova, vein tunim bracha. V'amer abinu tam deshibashu. What do you mean? It's not the same. Halakas ner chova shel mitzvah zonik Shabbos. So some suggest that that day holds that the mitzvah is the result, not the lighting. So if the mitzvah is just the oneg, then maybe it's too early to make the bracha. So then you don't make the bracha. The others say no, it has kavod and oneg. Again, there's a couple of, this Tosfos talks about a couple of important issues relating to that machlokas. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara now where we are, where we're up to. Says the Gemara, Tani, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, called Hayotze min ha'etz. Any material that comes from a tree, that grows from a tree, ein bo mishum shalosh al shalosh. Right? All other tree products, the minimum shear to be a significant material is 3 by 3 tfachim. 3 by 3 tfachim. If it's just 3 by 3 etzbaos, right, finger breaths, that's not chashiv. It's a tiny little nothing. And therefore, all other tree products. That's what it says. Kol ayotzim neitz. Einbo. It doesn't have shalosh al shalosh. It doesn't have the halach of 3x3 etzbos. Right? Shalosh is male and therefore the etz, and female and therefore etzbos. When it says shlosh, it always means tvachim. It's always flipped in Hebrew with the hey. So, Rav Shimon Elazar says, anything that comes out of a tree does not have the halach of shalosh al shalosh. Umisachichinbo. And because of that, when it's a tiny little swab of something that grew from a tree, it fulfills all three requirements of schach. Right? It grew from the ground, it's not attached to the ground, and it's not makabel tuma. If it's a bigger piece, so then it's going to be makabel tuma. You can't use it for schach. But here, by all other materials, a small piece is not makabel tuma, therefore you'd be able to use it for schach. Chutz mina pishtan, except for pishtan, linen flax, which is more significant, and therefore, even if you have only a little bit of it, and therefore it's only by 3x3 etzbos, it's still going to be significant, and therefore, you're not going to be able to use it for schach, because it's makabel tuma, and it's going to be makabel tuma, even just a small 3x3 etzbos. Amar Rav Yossi, asu oso, they made all the other pieces, ka'avim harachim, like the very thick or the very soft materials, Titanina, which we learned in Meseches Kelim, ha'avim arachim ein by mishum shalosh al shalosh. Right, if things aren't so usable, they're too thick, they're too small, they're too soft, and it's only a little bit, so then they're not going to be makabel tuma. So do all other materials. If they're only small, 3x3 etzbos, has the same halacha. It's not chashiv, and therefore it's not makabel tuma. Period. Amar Abelazar, min ha'mishkan lamdu. From the Mishkan we learn. What does that mean? From the Mishkan we learn what? Rav Chaim Kadiavsky, min ha'mishkan lamdu, she'ein makabel tuma olim el ha'pishtan. From the Mishkan we learned that the only material that is called an ohel that will be become tamei is from the Mishkan. Why? The Rav Chaim Kadiavsky answers in the psukim because it says there's a couple of psukim that we're going to do a couple of steps of gzeira shava. One pasuk says v'hiza ala ohel by tumas mace in Parshas Chukas. It says you shall sprinkle on the ohel because the ohel itself becomes tamei. Right, the material. And it says by the Mishkan, Vayifros Esha Ohel Ala Mishkan, spread the Ohel on the Mishkan. And there are a couple of curtains on top of the Mishkan, but the material that contributed to the curtains that were made from tree product was Pishtan. And therefore we say that's the one that's called an Ohel, and that's the one that's Makabel Tuma, and that's the one that will have to be nitar, right? Dichziv es hamishkan taze eser yirios sheish masar. It says it's made out of sheish masar, viksiv pare pishtim yiyu al rosham. And it says in Yechezkel, describing some of the begadim of the Kohen, that it's made out of pishtim, and therefore uses the word sheish there too. Zad lamed, sheish bi sheish, v'sheish bi pare, pare pare. You look at all the psukim, Chaim Kadiavsky here quotes, all of the psukim, a couple of steps, and you learn out silk, linen, flax is the only material that comes from a tree that was included in the materials that are used for the curtains. And that's how you know with the Gzeira Shava to Chukas that you know that is Mekabel, the only one that is Mekabel Tuma. Period. Interesting. The Mefarshim wonder what Parshas Chukas is doing there. Meaning the Sugya of Tumas Ohel. We're in the middle of the stories of Bamidbar. Right, we have stories about Midbar, we have Pa'aloscha and Shlach and Korach, and all of a sudden we have laws of Tumas Meis. Right? Doesn't that belong in Sefer Vayikra? Right? Put it by Tazria Mitzorah, we have the other halachas of Tumah V'Tahara. Why is it stuck there? So if Soloveitchik writes that it's stuck there because if you don't focus, right before Parshas Chukas, we're in year 2 of the 40, right? Parshas where Korach is, rebels. And right in the middle of Chukas, right after Tumas Ohel, what happens? Miriam dies. So those we just flew 38 years in Parshas Chukas. What does the Torah put there? We don't know anything about those 38 years, but the Torah puts Tumas Meis there. Why? Because that's what they were dealing with. That's what they were dealing with at that time, right? All the people who were Nigzar, the decree not to go into Eretz Yisrael. So there was a lot of Ptiras going on there in those years on Tisha B'Av, and therefore Tumas Meis, the halachas is how a Jew was supposed to deal with and learn the messages from this occurrence. And that's why maybe that's there. He calls it the blackout years. The blackout years, but the Torah puts it, there are messages to Tumas Meis. Tumas Meis is the only tefillah, the only process of purity that I need somebody else. Most of the time I could just jump in the mikvah and I'm tahor. But by Tumas Meis, I need someone else to sprinkle on me. symbolizes that I can't do things myself, right? I have to, come from the, have a recipient of the, of the, of someone else's, tara. Okay, so we continue. Rebbe Elazar shal, ma'olasas ohel me'arbei mitzameya. Can one make an, what about an ohel? Ma'olasas, so what's ma'olasas? So Chaim Vilevsky says, is this also mekabel tumah? Right, it's not not can you, even though it sounds that way, but the question really is, can you, imakabel, tumas ohel, right, because why? Because our behema tahora, that was partially used in the Mishkan, the or of kosher animals, right, the mikhsa ohel, ma'oros elim ma'adamim. But what about the or of a behema tamea? Because was that used in the Mishkan? Do we have if it was used in the Mishkan, then it has the status of ohel, like we know from, and OL is going to be makabel, tuma. But the question is, were there skins and hides of non-kosher animals used? So the Gemara answers, Vaksiv, Loris Tchashim. Doesn't it say Tchashim? And wasn't Tachash a behema tmeya? We don't exactly know what a Tachash is. And therefore that would prove, if one of the hides used for the curtains of the Mishkan was from a behema tmeya, then we would know that that has the status of OL and there was makabel tuma. So the Gemara says, it's not so clear what the tachash was. Not so clear. Was it kosher? Was it not kosher? Right? Some say that, as we'll see, Rebbe Yehuda, not Rechem v'Rabbanan. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Tainun l'shem tzivo nikra. Tainun was the name of the tachash, and it was a non-kosher animal. And because it was called based on its color, it had like a bluish color, that's why it's called Tainun, because that's blue. Rebbe Nechemya Omer, Galaktinun. Right, a different type of non-kosher animal. For Rabbanan Amrin, min chaya tahora, v'gedola b'midbar. No, it was a kosher animal. It's a kosher animal, and it only lived then. It only lived then in the midbar. And therefore, what you're asking the kasha of, can you use a behema tmeya? You want to prove it from the tachash? If the tachash was a kosher animal, you don't have any proof. Right, there's nothing to talk about. You can't prove it from the Mishkan. Vasya kai, and it's similar to the following. Demar, Reb Elazar, Reb Yossi, Reb Yevo, B'shem, Reb Shimon, Lakish, B'shem, Reb Meir, Kimin Chaya Tahor, Bar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'Moshe, B'Midbar. A Chaya Tahor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, created for Moshe in the Midbar. The Tachash, it was a kosher animal. Kivan Shazam HaMalachas, a Mishkan, once it was used for its purpose, Nignaza, then it was put away because it had no purpose anymore. Right, it was used for the Mishkan, that's all it was needed for, and therefore Hashem did not allow it to continue, right? There was no more tachash in the world. So therefore, the Gemara ends by saying, there's no raya. There's no raya that just because the tachash was in the Mishkan, that's not a raya, that the or of behema tameya is going to be mekabel tuma for tumas ohel. It's an important Musar thought here that, the tachash, it had a function, and once the function was finished, it's no more. Because we all have, everything in life has a tafkid. And we're here for to fulfill our tafkid, right? And we should hopefully 120 years is that tafkid. Remember that Gemara in Kiddushin. Also, we had it in the Yerushalmi. The Gemara in Kiddushin in the Bavli, Rabbi Tarfin was unbelievable at kibbutz av ha'eim. And that Gemara, he was unbelievable. He used to get down on the floor, and for his mother. So let me just find the lashon here, Rabbi Tarfon. The lashon here on Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Laman Aleph Mabez, the Gemara says, Rabbi Tarfin had a mother, and every time his mother wanted to get into bed, he went down to call Amos to have bus lamesak lupuria gachin visalakla. He used to bend down, she used to step on his feet, or on his hands. The call Amos to have nachis, nachis leilave. Also, come shtabach me medrusha. And they were praising him in the base medrusha. Rabbi Tarfin is the best kibbut of aim follower. Amri le, adayin lui gata lachatzi kibbut. Well, even the half the amount that you're supposed to do, you haven't gotten to. Klum zarka arniki befanech alayam. Did she take your wallet and throw it in the river? And you didn't get mad at her? What's the message? Tosfos here discusses. So some of the mafarshim explained, because if he would have, you've done everything you're supposed to do, then you're done, then your tafkid's done. Then Kodesh Baruch was gonna say, okay, Yotze, I'll take you back. No, they want the Rav Tarfin to last a long time, to live a long time more. So they said, oh, he hasn't done anything that he has to do yet. Right? He still has a lot more. See the Tachash fulfilled its mission, and because really everything in life is to be mechaber to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and once that purpose is done, then Kadosh Baruch Hu removes it. Right, that's the last mission in Pirkei Avos. Kol ma shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu b'olamo lo bara el lechvodo. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world was for his kavod, as the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, Kol anikra b'shmi ulechvodi b'rativ yitzartiv afasitziv. Right, everything is for me, including this tachash. And once the tachash has no purpose anymore, so then it is removed. V'yomer Hashem yimloch v'yolam v'oed. Right, and that's the last pasuk. If you look interesting, this is just on the Mishnah. The Ruach Chaim, Chaim Yivalajin wonders when we say in Yichavod, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vo'ed. It's a combination of a couple of psukim. So why do we do Hashem Melech first, which is the present, and then Hashem Malach is the past, and then Hashem Yimloch? Shouldn't it be Hashem Malach, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch? So he says, no, because Mitzad Hashem, everything's present. He's outside of time. So it's describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Melech, period, right? That's in present, and he's always present, right? In terms of Hove, not just he is present, but he is in the tense of present. But, and then we go through, once we know that, then we can talk about the other two, Mitzi Deinu. Hibolamos al Yonim, Asher Ein Lahara Mavo Shama, Lo Yigur Hara, Malchuso Bahavaya Achas, Me Rashis Abriya Varata, Uli Olam, Velazek Kinui Malchuso, Shma Betor Hove. In our world, there are different tenses, and therefore, then after you say Hove, then you have the Avar and the Asid. But that's what he says here on Hashem Yimloch Le'olam, on that Mishnah, that everything that Kosh Baruch Hu created, Lo Bara Ela Lichvoda. Okay, we continue a little more. Rabbi Avon Omar, Keresh HaYeshma. Keresh was the name of the Tachash. Tani Rav Oshia, Dachada Keren. It had one horn. One horn based on a pasuk in Tehillim, V'sita V'lashem, Mishor Par, Makrin Mafris. That's the pasuk, and we darshan for the word Makrin, Mi Karen, Kasav Rachmana. Right? Mi Karen, from a Karen, one Karen, that is the remez, that it is, this animal had one Karen. Fine. Tamina Tamantaninan, we continue. The Mishnah says in Kalim, Kala Pachos, Mishlosha Shlosha. If somebody has a beged that's less than 3x3 tefachim, it's bigger than 3x3 etzbos, but it's less than 3x3 tefachim. Shiskinu lapukbo asamerchas, and you designated it for a usage, right? We just spoke about, you know, in the Mishnah here that if it's very small, then it doesn't have the samakabel tumah yet. What happens if you have these items that are smaller than 3x3 tefachim? If it's 3x3 tefachim, then it's for sure. Has a usage as significant as Mekabel Tumah. But what if it's less than 3x3 Tzachim, but you designated it for usage? She's kinolak pupu as americhas. You can use it for a stopper in the bathtub. Ulanarbos a kadeira, or you have a hot pot. So you can use it to, you know, to like a glove to move the pot. Ulakanechbos or echayim, or to clean the mill. Bein min amuchan, bein sheinim min amuchan, tamei devi Rabbi Eliezer. Whether it's min amuchan or not, it's Mekabel Tumah. We don't know what that means yet. What does it mean, minamuchan shloman? If it's prepared, it's not prepared, it's designated, we don't know yet. But Rabbi Lazar says, either way, this is makabel tumah, it's tamei. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, bein minamuchan, mei sheinam minamuchan, tar. No, it's tar. Whether it's muchan or not, meaning a designation to this insignificant usage of just using as a water stopper or a pot handler, that's not makabel tumah, and therefore, it's still not a beged. It's very small, and therefore, it's not significant. It's going to be tar. Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, Omer, it depends. Minamuchan tamei, v'sheinu minamuchan tar. Rabbi Akiva says it depends. Minamuchan or ainu minamuchan. Okay, we don't know what that means yet. So it's a chilek. It's 3 days. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva. So now the Gemara says, what does that mean? Ma bein hamuchan, ma bein sheinu minamuchan. Right? What does that mean? So the Gemara has a possibility. Maybe it means. Bein she, muchan means you have it as a usage in your house. Ein muchan means you threw it in the garbage. Bein she chinu l'toch hashbayis, bein she shlichal ashba, whether you have it in your house to use, whether you threw it in the garbage, both of those, either way, that's what minamuchan means. And then Rabbi Eliezer would be saying that even if you threw it out, it still has the status of a beged and it's makabel tumah. Really, is that true? 1 second, but we learned in a different Mishnah in Meseches Kalim, V'hatznan. We learned in a Mishnah in Meseches Kalim. This is a Mishnah where we don't have the first half of the Mishnah according to the Gemara. This is in Perachav Zayin. Perachav Zayin, Mishnah Yud Beis. Right? What happens if you throw, the Mishnah says, I'll read the Mishnah, I have it here. L'olam hashlachasa mitaharta. right? Throwing something in the garbage removes its status of a begin, and therefore it's makabel tuma. These two fancy materials, argaman and zohoris tova, even if you throw it in the garbage, it still has the status of the kli, even if you threw it out. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, now we read our Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer says, af matlas chadash v'chayos ibran, even something new. If you have a totally new towel and you throw it in the garbage, it's still makabel tuma because it's new. It's still a beautiful towel. So one second, the Gemara says, by the fact that Rabbi Eliezer used the word af, means that he's agreeing to what was said by the Tanakhama, and he's just adding on. The less Barnash Omar, don't people say af afilu, one of those two words, ela ade modi al kadmaisa? Doesn't that mean that you agree? Meaning Rabbi Eliezer is saying, what did the Tanakhama say? If you throw everything in the garbage, it loses its status of a beged, except for these two. Rabbi Eliezer says, and this one also. But clearly he then says he's agreeing to the Tanakhama's yesod, that everything you throw out loses its status of a beged, and it's not makabel tuma. So that can't be the pshat of this other mission in Kalim that says, Rebbe Lezer holds this makabel tuma, bein menamuchan, bein she'en menamuchan. It can't, ein menamuchan can't mean you threw it out. Because Rebbe Lezer holds from the other mishnah, if you throw it out, it loses its status. It's not makabel tuma. So we have to have a different pshat. What does it mean, menamuchan and she'en menamuchan? Bein shehichina litlosa, bein shalo echina litlosa. Whether you prepared it beforehand, whether now you designated it to use as a water stopper or a pot handler, what if you had previously designated it to use as a patch? You're going to patch something up on your pants. So you've already in your mind designated for usage. And now you decide to use it for something less significant, right? You're just going to use it to hold pots. Does that designation remove its status from earlier? You made it into a chashuv beged because you're going to use it for a patch. And now you're going to, so does that remove its status? That's the machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer says it doesn't remove its status, right? It's still tameya. Rabbi Akiva says it depends. If minamuchan, if you already made it into that status, then it's still going to be makabel tuma. But if you never made it into the status tar, Rabbi Yoshua, it's tar automatically. Rabbi Yoshua says right when you designate it, so then it's going to lose its status. What does that have to do with us? Why are we talking about this now? Because now back to our Mishnah. The second part of our Mishnah. What did our Mishnah say? You have a piece of a beged and you roll it up. You're going to use it for a wick, which is pretty insignificant, but you didn't singe it yet. It used to be a nice beged and now you've rolled it up. Does that now remove its status as of a previous beged and now it's not makabel tuma anymore? What did our Mishnah say? Rabbi Eliezer says Temeya. Rabbi Akiva says Tahora. So that's parallel, right? In our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer says Temeya, meaning it doesn't lose its status from before. What did the Mishnah in Kalim say? It doesn't lose its status from before. It's still Temeya. It's parallel, right? That's what the Mishnah, the Gemara is saying, that our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Kalim are parallel, and each one is teaching us something that the other one wouldn't have taught us. Hada yalfa minahi, v'yahi yalfa minada. Each one is teaching us something new. Ha, the Yalfa Menahi, the Mishnah Kalim, is learning something from our Mishnah here. Meaning, there's a Chiddush in our Mishnah. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Vusha Kipla. Rabbi Eliezer says that even though you did an act, you didn't just designate it in your mind. What you do, you took this material and you rolled it up to be a wick. Even there, it doesn't lose the previous status of being a beged. Right? That's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. You did a Maisa, and even that Maisa does not undermine the previous status of being a beged chashuv. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Eliezer. The chiddush of our Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer Shita. Even if you did an act, it still does not lose its previous status. V'yahi yalfa min hada, and then our Mishnah learns from Rabbi Akiva, kishelo hichina litlosa. And what did we learn from that Mishnah? That Rabbi Akiva's Shita that says it doesn't, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva says here, tahora, it's not chashuv. That's only if you didn't previously designate it for a chashuv purpose. But avalichino, it's losa tameyahi. But if you did designate it for a chashuv purpose, like to use it as a patch, tameya, and that's Rabbi Kiva in the Mishnah in Kalim. So each Mishnah tells me a chiddush. Our Mishnah tells me a chiddush by Rabbi Eliezer. Even though you rolled it up and you did an act, it doesn't ruin his previous status as a chashuv beged. And that Mishnah says Rabbi Kiva would be moda if it previously had a chashuv status, so then it doesn't lose that. My time with Rebbe Eliezer. Why does Rebbe Eliezer say that it doesn't lose its status? Meaning, now we're going to get into the second half of Rebbe Eliezer's words. Right? Remember, in our Mishnah, we had a double machlokas, Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Eliezer said, Temeya. And Rebbe Akiva says, Tahora. And then the second half, which we didn't explain yet. The second half says, are you allowed to use these on Erev Shabbos? These wicks that you, these materials that you rolled up, Rebbe Eliezer says you can't use it. Ein malikin ba. Rebbe Akiva says you can. So what, we explained the first part of that machlokas just now, related to the Mishnah and Kalim. So what about the second part of that machlokas? Right? Can you use these as a wick on Erev Shabbos? Rebbe Eliezer says no. Why not? Why wouldn't you be able to use it as a wick? So it's going to be l'shitaso. According to Rebbe Eliezer, it's tmeya, meaning it still has the previous status. It's still a beged chashuv. The second that you light it, you are destroying it. It's no longer a beged. So it's no longer mekabel tumah the second that you light it. That's the problem. Because, says the Gemara, Naase kimitar kelim b'shabbos, you're taking something that was mekabel tumah and you're making it not mekabel tumah. So that's like, we know there's nisa d'rabbanan to be tovel kelim on Shabbos, making something tar, filas kelim. So that's what it's like, Rebbe Eliezer says, when you take a wick that is, it's still mekabel tumah, even though you rolled it up. I hold, Rebbe Eliezer says, that it's still mekabel tumah. The second that you light it, it's no longer going to be roi to be used as a beked. So you are taking away its possibility of becoming tameh. That's like being metaret. And that's why he says you can't use it. We're going to get to it in a second, but it's Erev Shabbos. We'll get to that. But first, the Gemara says, Mikivin shekipla lo tiharta. One second. But once you fold it, right, shouldn't that ruin its previous status? Ask Rebbe Eliezer. You rolled it up. So it's no longer a flat beggar that you could use for a patch. So why shouldn't that be good enough to ruin the previous status? Answer, Shekein Shamashim Umnin Rotza Bekipula. Sometimes professional weavers, you know, want certain types of materials rolled up, and they'll use it as is. So therefore, because they'll use it as is, you haven't ruined it. But says the Gemara, one second. So let's get back to the Ikar Adin. What do we say? Rebbe Eliezer says you can't use this wick. You took a beged, you rolled it up, you're about to use it as a wick. You can't use it on Erev Shabbos. Why? Because it's still Mekabel Tumah, and the second that you light it, it's not going to be Mekabel Tumah anymore. So it's like you're toveling it in a mikvah. But that's an Issa D'Rabbanan on Shabbos. This is before Shabbos. What are you comparing? V'lo maver yom shehi tahora? Mibo yomi tahora? What do you care? It's Erev Shabbos. Rebbe Eliezer, b'shem Rebbe Oshia, mibnei yantav shechalios be'erev Shabbos. You're right. It's a gzera. Gzera when yantav is on Friday. If we allow you to use this on a regular Shabbos, you might come to use this even when Yontif falls out on Friday. And on Yontif, you can't tovel kelim on Yontif either. So because of that, we're gozer. It's a chiddush because the whole thing is this is Rabbanan anyway. But we're still gozer. We're gozer mishum Yontif that falls out on a Friday. Says the Gemara, but wait a minute. There's still an issue. V'lo me'elehi tahora. The second that I light it, I've ruined it. Let's say I light it and I blew it out in a second. It's not ruined yet. It takes a little time. There's a delay. There's a delay from the time that I light it till it's not usable and it's not Mekabel Tumah anymore. So is that really similar to being Matar something in a mikvah? We're going to say, oh, this is like being Matar Kelim in a mikvah. There's a time delay. How can you say this is included? Amar Reb Yossi Bar Bun, Tiftar B'Shahayu Ba Shalosh Al Shalosh Mitzum Samos. No. We're talking about a case where there's a tiny little beged of 3x3. So the second that you light it, it's ruined. Because it's less than 3x3. So there is no time lag. So, that's a big ukimta in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is gozer mishum yantif shakalios be'erev Shabbos. And we're talking about a case which is tiny beged. And the second that you would light it, it would be ruined. Period. Okay, that is all option one for Rebbe Eliezer. Why does Rebbe Eliezer say it's usher to use this beged? A little bit more. Rev Acha, Rev Simon, B'shem Rev Shimon, Nazira, that's his name. Asa, Mazor Tahora. Are you allowed to use a mazor, right, which is a type of bandage, right, a type of bandage? The Mishnah says that this is tar even according to Rebbe Eliezer, even though Rebbe Eliezer holds that if you roll something up, it is still mekabel tumah, like the previous, you didn't remove its status. But if you used a bandage, if you used a beged for a bandage and it gets disgusting because it's on the wounds and it's bloody, then even he agrees it's not mekabel tumah anymore. Asa mazor tahora. So the Gemara says, one second. So shairi b'shemen lo kamish asa mazor. But what are we talking about in our Mishnah? You soak it in oil before you use it. it doesn't like that like also make it disgusting? And yet he says it's also to use. So why should it be different than putting it on a wound? No answer to that. No answer to that question. Period. But again, that's the Rabbi Lazar Shita at root. The two halachas, interestingly, as the Gemara just explained, are connected to each other. Rabbi Lazar says, Tameya ve'im alikinba. Tameya meaning it still has the status of a beged, and that's why you can't light it, because the second that you light it, you're going to ruin it from being a beged, and therefore, it's like being matar kelim b'shabbos. Well, we can think about this every time we say b'am alikin, every Friday night. We got to think about all this, Yerushalmi, right? And Rabbi Akiva says, Tahora umalikinba. Tahora, it already lost its status when you rolled it up. So if it's not a beged anymore, then there's no problem with using it on Erev Shabbos because you're not being matar anything. It's already not mekabel tumah. A little more. Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Yana, Rabbi Yirmiyah, B'shem, Rabbi Shua, Ben Levi, Nirin Tvarim, Shei Da'alacha, Rabbi Akiva. Da'alacha should be like Rabbi Akiva, Shu Omer Me'ein Shneim, because he's like the compromise Shita. He paskins half like Rabbi Lazar and half like Rabbi Yeshua. So he's what's called the Machria, right? Whatever he says, he has two people on his side because he agrees with each one of them, but not true. Ve'ena alak Rabbi Yeshua, but really the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua. What and meaning? It's always tar. It's always tar. Mikule shalosh shalosh. This is one of the kulas of the halacha of something that's only 3x3 etzbos. Okay, we'll have to stop there right before lo sof davar. Baruch Hashem, we will continue. Siyata d'shmaya. Baruch Hashem got through it.